Hey everyone, this is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day, and today we're going to be discussing. Oh, so I don't know if you can hear or not, just the loud, incessant panting. But I told my dogs that they were going to be my assistants today, and I usually don't keep them in the room because, one, the incessant panting, two, the intermittent, very smelly farts, and three, they just make entirely too much noise. But I'm going to ask them what they think today's topic is. Hold on. Boots? Sex? Okay, Sex, what do you think today's topic is? And like the perfect assistants they are, they got it right. Today's topic is part one, I think, of the wonders of the ancient world. So I know you're probably thinking to yourself that I already know the wonders presently, but there are two different types of wonders. There are wonders of the ancient world and there's wonders of the modern world. Today we're going to be talking about the ancient ones. So the famous ones that you probably already know are the seven, which is the Great Wall of China, which is, you know, in China. Two, Chichen Itza, which is in Mexico. Three, Petra, which is in Jordan. Four, Machu Picchu, which is in Peru. Machu Picchu, which is in Peru. My goodness. Five is Christ the Redeemer, located in Brazil. Six, the Colosseum. And seven, the Taj Mahal, which is in India. But before these, and honestly, I was thinking to myself, how in the world is something built like hundreds and hundreds of years ago technically modern? But if you think about it, history is technically like thousands and thousands of years old. So anyway, but the ancient wonders are the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt. Oh, you know how I feel about Egypt. Two, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, which is in modern day Iraq. Three, the Statue of Zeus at Olympia. Four, the Temple of Artemis at Ephesus. Five, the Mausoleum at Halicarnassus. Six, the Colossus of Rhodes. And seven, the Lighthouse of Alexandria. So I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe I'll do all seven in this episode, or maybe I'll do three and then four and another one. I don't really know. We are all excited to talk about this. Boots, Sox, and me, Billy, are totally excited to get into this topic. So let's do it. This is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day. Okay, before I start this podcast, I just want you to know that my very loving and dear husband allows me to take up his little like office room thing to do this. And just between you and I, a little secret, his chair is incredibly uncomfortable. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab a pillow and just try to put it behind my back because, you know, I feel like I'm about to get arthritis or something. Hold on. Oh, let me get the pillow. And another thing with husbands or your significant other, the taller one in the relationship tends to put things higher than they should be, which is incredibly annoying. And that is because my husband is, what is he, like 6'2", 6'3", and I'm 5'4". So he puts like the fruit snacks incredibly high, like the shower gels and things on the highest little thing on the caddy. It's annoying. And even this pillow was on like the highest point in this room. So anyway, if you have a tall significant other, you know my struggles if you're the short one. Anyway, so we're going to talk about the first one in our list is the Great Pyramid of Giza. You already know I had to start with Egypt. You know how I feel about it. And you probably are familiar with it. If you think of pyramids, this is actually what you're thinking in your head. There are three, and they sit on the west bank of the Nile. And the three were built for three different pharaohs. The pharaohs were named Khufu, Khafre, and Menkaure. And these were all of the old kingdoms, so that's why the names sound not as typically Egyptian, like Akhenaten, Tutankhamun, Ramses, Seti, things like that. These pyramids were created over 4,000 years ago. And until the Eiffel Tower was created in 1889, this was the tallest man-made structure in the world. The idea for the pyramid came from one of the pharaoh's chief advisors named Imhotep. And this is years before Khufu and Khafre came along. Imhotep. Okay, so if you watch The Mummy, you know the one with Brendan Fraser or whatever. Imhotep's the, like, evil guy in the movie. And he's, like, trying to get his soul back by sucking the soul out of just random people. That's his name. But in real life, Imhotep was a really cool dude. Like, you know, he really, like, encouraged new technology, new ways of doing things. Anyway, he was like the go-to man in Egypt at the time. So he was a good dude, not the bad guy. I'm the bad guy. Okay, anyway. That's Billie Eilish, if you didn't know that. And I like Billie Eilish a lot, actually. A lot. Anyway, back to it. The largest of the pyramids was for Pharaoh Khufu. Then after that, his son Khafre, and then Khafre's son Menkaure. Since these were created 4,500 years ago, they look a lot different than they were back then. The majority of pyramids when they were created were covered in limestone. So all of the pyramids were white, not like that brown sandy color. Over time, the limestone has just been kind of withered down by the elements. But just imagine, like, thousands of years ago, this massive white structure in the distance. Like, this was spectacular. And then at the top was, like, a little gold. So it was cool. Cool stuff. Anyway, within the pyramid, the treasures were stolen over time. So when they were discovered, it was like the grave robbers had already been there. But the three pharaohs were not the only people who were in the pyramid. They had their queens there. There were temples attached, building quarters. The building quarters were where the laborers lived while they were working there. Cemeteries, a huge great sphinx, passageways, boathouses, pits, tombs. And then there were other like mini buildings for princesses and viziers. And viziers are like advisors or whatever. So Khufu, which was the first pharaoh we're talking about, his pyramid began around 2550 BC, and it was estimated that 2.3 million stone blocks, and the pyramid is estimated to weigh about 10 million pounds. Within the pyramid, there's a passageway for him, you know, his grave, but also beneath it, there is a passageway for his wife, and they're buried very closely to one another. And he's also buried very closely to his mother. A small tomb also holds the sarcophagus of his daughter, and her name is Nefertibet. Her tomb is very close to his as well. And it's estimated it took about 20 years to make this, and 100,000 laborers were used to construct this. Located to the south of Khufu's is Khafre's, which is where the huge sphinx is. That's like the little lion thing. You know what I'm talking about. And then Khafre's pyramid began in 2520 BC and Menkaure's 2490 BC. But nobody really knows how the pyramids were built. But the theory that I latch onto the most is that they started with the base, which is going to be like a square thing. And then as the pyramid got taller, the workers would need to create like a ramp that went around and slowly was elevated. And that's how they would get it. So just imagine like the triangle going up, but while it's going up, there's like a ramp going around. But a lot of people don't believe this theory. And I can understand why, because some of the stones that were used in the pyramid weigh a couple thousand pounds. And do we believe that people 4,000 years ago created ramps that could hold 1,000-pound stones? I don't know. But at the same time, they created this massive geometric monument. So who really knows? Nobody knows how the pyramids are made. But we just know that they're cool. The workers, like I said, they lived nearby. And what they did was, in order to stimulate the economy during the rainy season or when the Nile would flood, which was a great thing for Egypt, it wasn't so, the farmers didn't have anything to do while it was flooded. So a lot of times the farmers were hired to work on these pyramids. So it was like the economy was still going, nothing was really stagnant. So that was extremely helpful. And that is the first wonder. Now we're going on to the second wonder, which is the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And in my head, now granted, nobody, this is the only wonder, I believe, where no one knows where it is exactly. And so a lot of times people are just drawing from renditions, things they've heard throughout history, stuff like that. But in my head, I just imagine like a big magical garden with like a little lagoon thing with like, you just sit and just watch the ducks go by, stuff like that. You know what I mean? But anyway, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon would have been located at whatever royal residence was there at the time. And it was huge advancements in irrigation and engineering. And I'll touch on that a little bit later. The Hanging Gardens were thought to be constructed by King Nebuchadnezzar. And if you are familiar, like I said, per usual, that this is not a religious podcast, but if you are a Christian, Muslim, or if you're Jewish, you are pretty familiar with King Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, he's pretty popular in the Old Testament. But anyway, so that's probably why people wouldn't know him. His name rings a bell. But because there's no real accurate depictions or real accurate knowledge, we don't even know if Nebuchadnezzar built it, because it could have been King Sennacherib. And Sennacherib is also in the Bible. Hey. Anyway, so Sennacherib or Nebuchadnezzar, who are very famous names in the Bible and throughout history, are thought to possibly have constructed this wonder. But if it was Nebuchadnezzar, he is also famous for capturing Jerusalem and building the Ishtar Gates. And the Ishtar Gates are like the big blue gates that have like intricate designs on it. If you've ever been to the Met Museum, you've seen it. It's just a big, just look it up. I probably should put in like the little Instagram thing. Okay, I'll put it in the Instagram thing so you can see it. All right, back to it. So it was thought to have a sloping design, kind of like how a mountain does. That way, natural rainwater could go ahead and just irrigate, get the plants flourishing, things like that. But they also might have implemented an Archimedes screw. So an Archimedes screw would have been placed in a nearby body of water and gone diagonally up to the top of the Hanging Gardens. And what happens is that the water at the bottom moves like this little screw thing, and eventually water makes its way to the top in a turning motion. So that's a huge thing for the time, a huge thing, getting water from one place to another. And creating, it's really cool, you guys. It's really cool. It drove water up to keep the plants going in addition to natural rainwater. Wealthy Babylonians had gardens in their personal homes. So this wasn't like a big thing. I mean, it was a big thing because it was beautiful. But personal gardens were already kind of a thing. But it was thought to have rich foliage, waterfalls. It was just constructed by the best of the best, but King Nebuchadnezzar might have built it because his wife came from a place where it was a similar environment, so he wanted to make it for her so she wasn't as homesick, which I think is kind of cute if it's true. But a lot of people believe that the Hanging Gardens never existed or were not even made in Babylon. It is the only ancient wonder where the site hasn't been found and the exact location is not known. Now, before we move on, I'm interrupting this episode to tell you about two women that I know that are doing crazy awesome things. If you're looking for a virtual alcohol mixing class, give Garnished a look. Her services include not only the class, but the kit and 2 hours of training to learn how to make delicious cocktails, and it doesn't hurt to impress your friends with your new bartending skills. Find more information at www.garnished, that's G-A-R-N-I-S-H-D. There's no E. There's no E. Hello. www.garnished.as.me for more details. Next is my buddy, Eleanor. She's a graduate student working towards her degree in heritage management. She started her IG and her blog during lockdown after the museums and heritage sites didn't really need volunteers. Eleanor has created a platform that celebrates and educates history and its importance within our society in an engaging way. She seeks to educate her followers about people's life stories, which may have been lost over time due to race, sexuality, or religious discrimination. You can find her at eschlepheritage.com, and that's spelled eschlepheritage.com. Now, back to the episode. The third wonder we're going to talk about is the statue of Zeus at Olympia. So Zeus, for a little background, is the god of thunder, sky, and he's also king of all of the Greek gods. So you probably have seen him before in like movies throwing thunderbolts or things like that. And he's also a philanderer. And a lot of times he will depict himself as an eagle, or he will turn himself into an eagle to like go and find women. There was one, Perseus, I believe. So Zeus comes down and he turns into an eagle. Am I saying this right? I don't want to give you guys the wrong information. Let's just say that there are multiple occasions where Zeus turns himself into some sort of animal, goes to some woman, has sex with her, gets her pregnant, pisses his wife off. The wife turns her into an animal, maybe kills the kid. It's just a mess. But he's, keep in mind that Zeus is always, always having sex with someone. And it's just awful. But anyway, this statue was created by Phidias, and he also created the statue of Athena. The statue was about 40 feet high and completely covered in ivory, gold, and intricate stones. And the right hand of Zeus was the god Nike, and I think the Roman equivalent is the god, what is her name? Victory, something like that. Anyway, the goddess Nike is the god of victory, and then the Romans turned it into like the equivalent. And in his left hand is a scepter with, you guessed it, an eagle on it. It took about 8 years to make, and you've probably seen this statue before. If you've seen the Disney film Hercules, when Hercules finally finds his way, because he can go the distance. Anyway, he finally finds his way and he gets to that temple, and he sees his father, the Zeus, sitting there. And he's like sitting stone-faced and not moving. That is the statue of Zeus. So look at you. You learned a little history Disney connection there. So, when Emperor Theodosius began to ban pagan worship in the 4th century AD, he closed all of the temples to all of the gods, and they just fell into disuse, especially the temple where Zeus was housed, and like nobody was going there anymore. So, after a series of earthquakes, random fires, just natural disasters, in addition to the statue kind of getting some wear and tear, it also caught on fire, and nobody knows how it caught on fire. And it didn't help that the outline or the frame of the statue was made of wood. So it just burned. So today we do know it actually existed, but there's nothing there. So that sucks. But anyway, those are the three wonders we're going to talk about in this episode. Next episode, we'll talk about the other four. But this is pretty cool. You guys know about the ancient world wonders because they are, I don't know, I get like all nostalgic and I get all happy when I think about all these things that were happening thousands of years ago and how people were just so innovative. I think that's so cool. Anyway, as I talked about in my last episode, I ramble, and I ramble a lot. And my sister told me that in my episodes, when I ramble, If I ramble, then the people listening to me might forget what I was talking about before. So leave all my ramblings and like little interjections to the end. That way, like, you know, if you're not listening, then you didn't really miss anything. Okay, yeah. Anyway, so do me a huge favor. Wherever you're listening to this episode, please leave a rate and don't forget to review, because that is how people find me. And I love to just get you guys' thoughts, good or bad, on how I'm doing. And I love reading reviews. They're just the best to me. And also, don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Lady Billy Day. That's Lady B-I-L-L-I-E Day on Instagram. And I don't know. I'm just so happy. This episode was really snuggly. And I would let my assistant say bye, but unfortunately they have fallen asleep and are snoring. And who am I, as a pet owner, as a dog mom, to wake them from their slumber? Have you ever been sleeping on your bed and your dog, cat, whatever, they'll come sit on the bed and like inconvenience your legs? Like you're folded up like a pretzel, but yet you see them sitting there looking like angels fallen from heaven. It just can't move. So you wake up in just agony, but you look at their faces and it's like, wow, you're an angel. A cherub, really. All right. See, here I go again. Anyway. Don't forget to leave a rate and review. Follow me on Instagram. And this is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy J. And let me hit you with the ASMR.